Chapter 116, Elongating the Mind. I ponder nights. I ponder myself, pondering nights. This night that stretches and stretches out and out like an elastic band. I'm flying. In a plane, of course. Right up on high. Up there among the crisscrossing trails of long-haul flights. As I may have mentioned, the engines just outside my porthole are gently roaring, constant, reassuring, because should some change occur in pitch or timbre, it could mean that we are coming down, and it's far too early for that. There is also the sound of air rushing by, something like the sound of the sea, but without the lulling rhythm, a kind of numbing white noise, I suppose, as we charge on at a great rate through the atmosphere towards another land, a land that I have never seen or been to, but which is strangely familiar all the same, I imagine. In any case, a new stage to strut it will be, a new canvas to splash some paint on, speaking metaphorically, and incapable right now of contemplating possible drawbacks. I have packed the bare essentials and apparently left the what-ifs behind me, in a drawer somewhere, with paper clips, rubber bands and empty pens, back in a room I had, back there, in a previous chapter. And now, in this new chapter, I am sitting next to a total stranger for the next day or so. He has a large hat that he has painstakingly placed in the overhead locker, various times, as it was never quite positioned as he would have liked. However, he seems happy now that it is safe and sound and out of harm's way, and extracts what looks to be a dried piece of crocodile, which he sucks and munches on enthusiastically, salivating to excess. We have spoken briefly, so as not to break the spell of being nowhere and not lose our respective threads. Me on the sick bag I was riding on, at first surreptitiously, later boisterously, as a madman would, egged on by the unexpected spark that sometimes ignites a life's work, or your work's life, like a match struck there inside, making a space in the darkness. But of course, matches burn, then blacken and twist, become fragile and light as air. Suddenly, that fortuitous spark is no longer, and the light it affords no longer lingers. So, giving up on that, I talk to this person of a large hat, nodding and bemused by his enthusiasm for dried reptiles and steam turbines and their design, his field of work. I smile stupidly, feigning fascination, but in fact, finding it impossible to muster the tiniest speck of curiosity for steam turbine design. A failing of mine, I suppose. The lights are conveniently dimmed, bringing my escape. All around me, fellow passengers are sitting stiff or kinked into unlikely shapes, some partially covered by flimsy nylon flight blankets and engaged in a desperate quest to find a place to rest the head. We will all be bleary-eyed and unshaven soon, footwear shed, belts unbuckled, shirts hanging out, not giving a damn if we snore or snort, jaws hanging open like the doors of houses where nobody lives. It surely cannot be natural, being 8 miles high and flying blind in a elasticized night with an elongated mind.